the 411. You're tuned into 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, obesity rates for Americans of all ages have increased dramatically in recent decades. Among teen, 12 to 19, 18% are obese. The data suggests that 30% children and teens aged 6 to 19 are overweight. Joining me, I have Susan Mandel. Susan is going to share her expertise and her experience with us when we look at teen obesity. Susan, welcome to 411 Teen.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited. I've always wanted to get up to Tallahassee, and we have so much going on here fighting teenage obesity down in Palm Beach County. We've been doing this for 8 years, since 2006.
Oh, wow.
Before Michelle Obama's campaign, Let's Move, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, congratulations to you and your insight, because it's certainly needed. Well, just what is obesity? How do you define obesity?
Well, I would define obesity as anybody, again, depending upon their age, mm-hmm. their height, body weight, at least anywhere between, 20 and above pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. Again, it varies depending upon the size of the adult or child that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But excess weight usually is 20 pounds plus. It could be 15. A lot of people, who aren't that overweight will say they're obese.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would say at least 15 to 20 pounds, overweight is pretty heavy.
Okay. All right. So you go according to the pounds and, just that the weight would determine the obesity.
Right, right.
Okay.
I mean, there's a standard chart that you could follow, for size
mm-hmm.
and height,
mm-hmm.
Your average weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happening now is there's wrestlers and football players that might be 300 pounds, but they have healthy hearts. So we're all about healthy hearts, and in 2006, I left my teaching career to passionately go out and fight and attack teenage obesity by going out on a campaign called Save a Teen, Donate a Giant. And like I said, I left my teaching career because I felt as an educator, my teens were so stressed out, not necessarily overweight, but
mm-hmm.
just, with so many different issue challenges.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that indeed is a characteristic, it seems, of teens in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that obesity is particularly associated with adolescents?
Well, first of all, we have a growing body, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not exercising and they're in the couch and they're sedentary, they're either behind the computer screen, laying on the couch, texting on the computer, our technology mm-hmm. world has taken over so much a part of their leisure activity that when we were kids, when I was a kid, we were outside playing except for doing homework and eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's very hard to keep up with technology and the fast food restaurants and the lack of parenting at home. Kids are left alone and they're just in control of their own, schedules. And mm-hmm. it's very hard because there's just no monitoring. And in the schools, we
right.
really need a lot of help at home. I know parents need a lot of help. We need better role models. We need healthy life.
Well, I was going to I'll jump to the school right now, and we'll get back to the home
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I think, that there's some particulars that we need to look at when it comes to the school environment. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and that I think we need to examine, first of all, P.E.,
P.E.
is a thing of the past. And
right.
studies and research have all indicated how important physical education is to mental and physical health. And
absolutely.
We're talking about teens who are at a particular developmental time where they do need this exercise. And it just blows my mind in that when they need this exercise, at a time when they particularly need it, we're cutting it back. So, you know, that loss of physical education is something that the school plays a role in. Would you agree?
Well, first of all, with the school, they have to come and into terms which is going to be the issue that we attack first. It seems like in the Florida school system, it's the FCAT. Now, my whole motto is a healthy heart, healthy school, healthy students, healthy academics, all right? A child who comes in to a school situation that's obese, that's not feeling good about himself, that can hardly move, is not going to do very well in academic performance. There's been studies made that healthy children are academically higher scores. So, you know, the schools have to realize that, yes, standardized testing, FCAT is so important, but if the child does not have a healthy heart, he's not going to be able to perform academically. So we need to really, you know, just like we have a principal at the school, a nurse, we need health and wellness specialists at every school to make sure.
How do we get there? I mean, I think you're totally right.
You know, in other districts, they're doing so many neat things, not necessarily in Florida, but in other states, they have bus routes that are becoming bike routes, all right, for students, and they have four different stops in Tennessee where they actually pick up kids on bicycles, and this is going on in middle school.
We can learn from all of those various options and resources that are being utilized. I mean, they're very valuable, and although I'm sure not one applies to everything, but if we have a number of options, I'm sure, you know, it's like going to the grocery store. Something will you know, appeal. But I guess my question, because you've been in the school system, you know the school system well, how would you advise parents, administrators, interested folks about really making a change? I mean, you know, we can talk about it a lot, about what needs to do, but how, I mean, having been in the school system, what kind of recommendations would you make, specifics?
My first recommendation is we have to get the staff healthier. If you don't have a healthy administrative staff, you can't do anything. Some of our role modeling among our school administrators and staff should be an F for an FCAT score. You know, you have to diagnose the whole school from the minute you walk in. Is the school holistic or not? Is it happy or does it have havoc? Is it lively? You know, you have to have a healthy administrator principal, a healthy athletic director, healthy PE teachers, and then you go and you initiate. And this is what we did at Lake Worth High School in Palm Beach County. And we literally had a chilling cardio cafe club, which was Mad Dog Athletic Spin for the high school students. And they loved it because you turn off the lights, you're in air conditioning, you're not racing around the track in 100-degree weather where the humidity is 100 degrees. You have to make it pleasurable for the students who aren't the jocks of the school, but yet are academic students who need to finish 4 years of education. Some schools are so sick, they're calling them hospitals because the minute you walk in the door, the air doesn't even smell good, you know? You see teachers eating potato chips with their feet up on the desk. That's why I left in 2006 to start my own campaign, because it was moving too slow, and the child will die before they even graduate or get out of high school.
As we look at weight, and we're talking about, you know, weights, whether it's in the adults and the teachers and administrators or in the students, is there an ideal weight? I mean, I'm just asking, just for, you know, knowledge base. Is there really an ideal? And what is it? What is it? How is it determined?
You know, you go to the doctor. They give you a physical. You know, I have three healthy children. They're all in their 20s. You know, usually it comes from a doctor, from a physical examination, and it's based on your body size, your age, and your height. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very, very important. Does the nurse do it at the schools? No. Do the athletic directors do it at the schools? No. But the doctor that's really, you know, and they really just come in with a permission.
Well, see, I'm thinking that you know, you talk about going to the doctor, but something like that, I don't know that you would even have to go to the doctor. I would think that the nurse is well trained to determine if one is overweight and determine an ideal weight. So that's why I'm asking that.
Well, that would be the place where you would start with someone who's already been hired, or you get a health and wellness specialist.
Okay.
With that, because nurses are inundated, you know, with different issues. I mean, you know, if you've ever been in the elementary schools, the lines are yay long with kids coming to school sick. They have to contact the parent. They send the child back. But these are all, you know, standard initiatives that should be done. You know, if not by a nurse, hire a health and wellness specialist that can rally the school and get them excited and bring in new PE. They're doing this in California. We're just behind the times.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think I keep coming back to is what some of the kids say. You know, it's easier said than done. Talk is cheap, okay? And that we can come up with all these, but I guess, I keep asking you because you have taught, you have worked in those schools. You know the deficits. You know, you also know the advantages. And I'm just wondering, for someone who's listening, for a parent who's listening, you know, what kinds of things can they do to rally and to educate and to advise, be it other parents, be it educators, administrators, as to how serious this is? I mean, you've started that initiative down there. How did you do it? Who did you find was the most receptive? I mean, those are the kinds of...
You have to go to a healthy school that has a healthy principal and an athletic director. Now, I'm talking about a high school right now, all right? There's the majority of the schools are not receptive to anything with change or that would promote athletic activity or something different in the school. It's been a roadblock. This has been a war on fighting obesity. I'm not talking about just getting your hands wet. You have to be extremely passionate in what you believe. And this is how we attacked the school at Lake Worth High School. Now, even did this.
Let me ask you just to hold your thoughts for 1 second.
Okay.
We need to take a brief break.
Okay.
But we'll return in 60 seconds. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me, Susan Mandel. Susan is going to share her expertise and her experience with us when we look at teen obesity as to how serious this is. I mean, you've started that initiative down there. Who did you find was the most receptive?
Now, this is Mad Dog Athletic Spin out of Venice Beach, California. I got the support from the CEO to step in and start certifying our teens before they even graduate to empower them with job opportunities. So you have to start a rally. You have to start new initiatives, but you have to get a healthy principal to allow it in a school. That's numero uno. And you have to find passionate people who are in health and wellness. That's my background because I made it that way because teaching became too much of an illness for me in the classroom.
Well,
and I saw what was going on.
Yeah, and you know, and again, I applaud your efforts, but, you know, for those who are still in the classroom, for those who are, you know, still dealing with it, for those parents who have kids who are in these schools who are not perfect, it doesn't offer a lot of options because it might be very difficult to find exactly what you are, you know, prescribing. You're very fortunate to have done. Well, let me finish. You're very fortunate to have done so there. But, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, I don't know that ideal exists. However, I'd like to get more into looking at overweight children. That's really what I'd like us to address and talk about. And I had a question in that, you know, we talk about overweight children and the problems that they cause. But one thing you didn't address and I wanted to talk about is that overweight children are more likely to be victims and perpetrators of teasing and bullying. And, you know, bullying is now
absolutely,
a big deal.
Absolutely.
And that's something that,
absolutely,
you know, we haven't addressed at all. You know, so, yes, being overweight seriously affects one's health. But and the usual problems we think of diabetes and heart disease. But I'm thinking about, you know, this bullying. Bullying is a real problem. It seems to be an increasing problem, or I don't know, maybe we're just tuned into it more. But, you know, how do you address, what do you do with those children who are overweight and are likely to be victims or perpetrators? Because the research says that overweight kids, you find them in two groups. They're often the victims, or they may indeed be the perpetrators of bullying and teasing. Have you had any experience with that?
I've had experience with a lot of overweight children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bullying attacks that are going on, thank God they have laws now to deal with the perpetrators and the violators of bullying in the schools, all right? That's a whole nother entity to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We've done several programs on that. We've talked about bullying several times.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just had something sent to me by Northern Colorado University, where I graduated, on bullying and what they're doing now in the schools. It's wonderful. But getting back to the obesity, when I was teaching in middle school and high school, there was such a large percentage of kids that would rather take the F than dress out of PE. What does that say to me? They're turned off. They're unmotivated. You get something going that is exciting, that the instructor is excited about, and you turn on their music and escape with them, they go ballistic.
Obesity rates have doubled since 1980 among children and have tripled for the adolescents. In the past 20 years, the proportion of adolescents aged 12 to 19 who are obese increased from 5% to 18%. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me is Susan Mandel. Susan is sharing a wealth of knowledge. She's an educator, and she is a health expert, and we are looking at obesity, the problem of obesity. Susan, I had to interrupt you before we went on break, but we were talking about children, obese children, and being victims and perpetrators of teasing. What about the personal identity and body image component that is occurring during adolescence? How is it impacted by obesity?
Well, you know, you look in the mirror. These kids look in the mirror every day. We all look in the mirror. I think it could be devastating. And
hey, sometimes we wonder if they did look in the mirror.
Bad hair day, right? Well, you know, the joy that I've had is, and the gift that I've had is, you know, we're still talking about school. We're not talking about home life right now.
No, not yet.
Even with the first graders, you add excitement. You bring in new avenues and activities for them to participate in. And like I said, fighting obesity, you need the support and the team of a nation. And that's primarily how I attacked it, because it was so hard for me to bust out here in Florida, especially in Palm Beach County, that so many times I was ready to say, I'm going to hang this up, this isn't worth it. But then I'd have the kids come in, and they loved it. and we got the parents to come in and try it out. We, you know, actually got down to third grade on the spin bike because it's all about height.
Mm.
And at the same time, we addressed the lower grades dancing, and we would just have them dance while we were spinning. So I kind of orchestrated us on the stage with the older kids on the spin bike, but it has to take a school initiative. Now,
in addition to the school initiative, you alluded to home, and I wanted to examine the home and examine the influence that home and the impact that home may have on the obese child or adolescent. Okay. And in home, you know, just looking at the whole aspect of the home. What have you found to be significant about home?
The significant factors right now of the home life is everybody's working two or three jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are raising kids. Kids aren't being raised by adults in a lot of homes. You know, we don't have the best role models at
mm-hmm.
home anymore because everybody's working. They come home, they're tired, they're stressed out. And so, you know, the whole nutritional thing, there's 29 million Americans lack access to healthy foods, all right? This ties in, you know, I'm mm-hmm. a member of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and I get emails shot out every day on childhood obesity and what's happening in the home and just lack of funds. And again, coming from whatever background, whether they're coming from another country or not, they're used to eating a different way. So no matter what you do in the schools, they're going to go back and be a product of their environment unless you teach them at an early age. And that's where you have to really get the child in the school, because we've had children that actually go home and educate their parents and you know, start reading labels and letting parents know. And that's really a joy, like teaching a
mm-hmm.
child to read for the first time. It's a blessing, you know, when the kids can pass all these good things to the parents, and then the parents come into the school. And again, you try to tie in the whole community with what's going on with healthy initiatives, healthy lifestyles, you know, at home. And so we work with the students so much during the day that then they go home in turn and they start getting their parents to, you know, start walking, doing
mm-hmm.
healthy activities. It's almost like a reverse role right now because the parents are coming home, they're tired, they're exhausted. And
well, in addition, you know, I think, yes, the fatigue and the extended work responsibilities, but I think also if you look at the home, you need to look at what's in the home. What parents have for snacks. I mean, for example, it's a different lifestyle, it's a different mindset, but it's just as well, I don't want to say it's just as easy. I started to say it's just as easy to have fresh fruits. I think we have to remember that in looking at the home, we have to look at the environment. It's more expensive to eat healthy.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's not that easy to eat healthy if you live in an impoverished neighborhood. And where you buy your groceries is the corner store, and they don't have fresh vegetables at all in there. You might find a head of lettuce back in the corner that's been there for a couple of weeks.
So,
I think that we often may say home, and I wanted to get you to react to this because we might say home, but mm-hmm. it's the environment. Because, you know, if they want to run and get a snack, they don't have that option. And then if they did have that option, you know, fresh fruit costs more than a bag of potato chips.
Right.
And so, I think that's something that we have to, you know, come to grips with. Low-income communities, they often are going to limit the access to healthy food. Okay. And so I think that plays a role, just like the schools. We talk about making changes in the schools, but the schools, if you look at those school lunches, and many schools have very high calorie foods. They have
absolutely
those sugary drinks. They have those sugary drinks all through. So, you know, there are a number of things I think that can be done, like you said, but, you know, it's getting those individuals to form those initiatives to make that kind of change. You know,
right,
you look at the airways, for example. If you look at the airways, you know, they're saturated with food product ads, okay? I think I read in one research project, teens look at, on the average, 17 ads a day for candy and snack foods. And
more than
6,000 ads a year for junk. Okay.
You know, and look at McDonald's.
McDonald's,
you know, started with a dollar meals, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they have this slogan, eat well, live fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Eat well, live fast.
Right.
So, you know, what's that all about?
Right.
Eat well. I think there's a couple of things you can eat well at McDonald's. If it's fresh, probably your salads
mm-hmm.
and maybe the yogurt parfait. And if they have, you know, the drinks, you have, like you're saying, you have to stay away from. There's so much sugar. And it kills me when I go into a Starbucks and I see a parent with an overweight child getting the child a culotta or a Starbucks very rich calorie, high calorie content drink.
Right. Yeah.
For breakfast.
Right.
You know,
well, what did you think of Mayor Bloomberg's initiative with controlling the size of
the cups?
Yeah. What's your response to that?
I love all of that. You know, it's really sad that we have to institute things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm all for getting rid of everything, the soda pop machines in the schools. You know, like you said, the lunches, again, all of this, you know, we have nutritionists and we have the school lunch staff. And it's education
mm-hmm.
out in California, and I'm going to keep saying this, in other areas across America, they're doing healthier initiatives with the foods, bringing in salad bars, you know, and letting people eat salads.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, so much of this is processed, and it is garbage. The corn dogs in the schools here in Florida, there's so much bread on the corn dog. Even the kids are so smart, they're peeling off the breading, and they eat the hot dog. You know, because
that's good.
We eat all this garbage bread on the
mm-hmm.
corn dog floor.
Well, you know, I think we also have to emphasize, and we've alluded to it, but we really haven't directly said this, and that is the fact. You know, we talk about how does one become overweight, and we can talk about all these different variables and these social ills in society and things that need to be changed. But let's get right down to the basics. And what we're talking about is taking in more calories than burning, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At what point would you say weight? Does one's weight become a health risk?
Well, when you hear someone walking up steps mm-hmm. panting, when the heart is so compounded by pressure, and, you know, this is why, as an educator, I don't use any heart rate monitors with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them how to check their own pulse and listen to their body. You know, I tell them Moses didn't have a heart rate monitor walking the desert for 40 days. Listen to your body. We all have to listen and find out what is going on. And that's why there's kids dropping on the football field. Because like you said, no one is taking body weight, body mass, you know, index. It's so easy to do. That is a must before any child even gets that permission slip signed to play sports or to just go out and play PE. We have to know what's going on with each child. And if it's not the nurse's responsibility, then they need to hire health and wellness specialists. Years ago in Colorado, what I was going to mention earlier is I used to do consulting and travel around the whole state for this database we were compiling for the Denver Public Schools. They can hire consultants. I can go into schools and access things and research things and make things happen. But you have to want it, you know.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you. Do you feel there's a obesity epidemic? You know, we often hear, educators refer and nutritionists talk about the obesity epidemic. Do you feel there's an obesity epidemic?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been going on for years. And, you know, I have statistics in front of me from the county health rankings, you know, for a healthier nation, county by county here in Florida. Diabetic screening alone in the state of Florida is up 84%. Physical inactivity is 25%. You know, then we go into the physical environment like you're talking about. Fast food restaurants, almost 50%.
Well, they're going to increase if there's a demand for them. And another thing that we're having is younger people are developing health problems, serious health problems. That used
diabetes
to,
that's
right,
one, yeah,
high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and type 2 diabetes. These health problems
are coming down with it. It's really, you know, this summer I was working for a family where I was giving insulin to a 3-year-old, all right? And I can tell you this much, the parents aren't reading labels either.
Okay.
And it just hurts me so bad because when parents don't acknowledge what's going on with their own children, that is a serious disaster right there, because there's just too much sugar. You know, every doctor, even Dr. Oz, I don't really watch too much TV, but you have to eliminate the sugar. We're overloading everything with sugar, salt, and you just have to start reading. We taught our elementary kids to read labels in first grade. We went from processed food, you know, they had for snack and after school programs. We started bringing in fresh broccoli, carrots. They made their own dip. We had them making their own smoothies. They loved it, you know, and then they went home and they were so turned on, they would, you know, tell their parents what they're doing.
Hold your thought. We're going to take a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me, Susan Mandel. Susan is going to share her expertise and her experience with us when we look at teen obesity.
So again, you know, everybody's a product of their environment, but you can at least initiate healthy lifestyles and healthy choices to these kids, and then hopefully, you know, they will in turn find it very valuable for their future growth and success. Because like I said, if you don't have a healthy heart, you're not going to be having healthy academics. It just goes hand in hand.
Right. Well, you mentioned the unhealthy food choice. The choices are high caloric and low nutrients. That's what they're getting as far as snacks are concerned.
Lots of
calories. And another thing that we didn't talk about is larger portions. That's something else we're seeing. What about these all-you-can-eat establishments?
The buffets.
That's right. That influences, that plays a big role, okay? I think as far as the you know, the weight problem that exists, it's really very difficult for folks because it's every place. Every place. It's on television. It's on the billboards.
Therefore, as an adult, whether you're a parent or not, we need more healthy role models in our adult world. I'm going to mention our website right now.
Okay.
During this time, because... like,
well, go right ahead.
Okay, it's www.room, R-O-O-M, then the number 101, inc.org.
Teens especially are impacted by their surroundings, and several studies at the University of Illinois, Chicago, University of Michigan have confirmed that our environment is designed to make teens fat. In addition to this, the environment that's designed to make teens fat, moods play a role in the teen appetite, not just teen appetites, I know adults too, but I wanted to look at the role of your emotional state and see what you thought about that. You know, because often food consumption is tied up with emotional reasons, feeling anxious or stressed out or upset or depressed. And those are emotions that plague adolescents. Would you talk about that role of emotions in our food consumption?
Well, that could be like a roller coaster event because I know so many kids that, you know, the dating scene is there and mm-hmm. our social peer group is so evident that what seems to be more important is, you know, who's dating who or who broke up with who, and then you have that continuous overeating syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do, again, is teach them it's okay to have these binges, but we need to exercise and we need to have activity. Everything in moderation. I grew up in a grocery store in Hyde Park, Chicago. My dad owned a grocery store, so I've always been about food, all right? I've eaten every single type of candy bar that's ever been on the shelf, but I've always stayed active, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I never became obese. If I was inactive, I would have been obese,
mm-hmm.
and I still could to this day if I kept eating and eating and eating. I really feel like what the most important thing is there is to have a good listening ear for these teens that need to be heard. I'm a parent. Our kids were always there, you know, for us to, you know, hear them out and see what's going on, no matter how busy we were. But, we mm-hmm. had kids snacking literally on popcorn with brewer's yeast made with coconut oil. And I'm telling you, these are Haitian, Afro-American kids coming from all different, you know, areas around the world, and mm-hmm. they loved it. And they went home and told their parents about what we were doing. So again, if you turn children on to something very new and exciting, I think you can overcome these binge eating habits, but you know, the social scene is so strong with our middle school and high school, you know, age group that, again, you know, you got to have some good role modeling going on.
Well, you know, there's another variable that they are looking at, the studies are looking at, and they're suggesting that sleep plays a role in teen obesity, particularly adolescent
mm-hmm.
obesity, because adolescents are sleep deprived. You know, all the research and the studies and the pundits recognize mm-hmm. that teens do not get enough sleep. And if we just added an additional hour each night, they did a big study at, where is it, University of Pennsylvania, Perelman
mm-hmm.
School of Med, and they found that if you just added maybe an hour each night to their
mm-hmm.
sleep,
mm-hmm.
that would help reducing the BMI.
There's
a correlation, a definite correlation between short sleep and obesity.
Right.
You know,
right.
And again, that's an area where the schools may play a role. I mean, I know in some communities in Minnesota, they have lessened the school day. They have made the opening hour later.
I heard about that. Yes.
Exactly. Just to address that need for that additional hour. That's something else, you know, that schools could possibly do as we look at the roles that different arenas and different parts of.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, right now with the schools, it's been such a violent interaction that violence and then the FCAT are like the two priorities, unfortunately. But like you're saying, there's so many other important issues, you know, to get that whole child together again. And starting later would be so wonderful, because when I was teaching in the high schools, some of these kids worked, too.
Yes,
so they didn't get to bed until 1 in the morning, and then they had to be out at the bus stop at like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So they would come into my first-hour classroom asleep, not eating, because they missed, you know, breakfast at the school. Mm-hmm. And I always had healthy snacks. You know, again, as a teacher, you have to look out of the box. You cannot teach in the box anymore. It's so important to get that passion in teaching, and I think that is such an important element, because teachers lose the passion, and that gets very frustrating because there's so much more we can all do. Every day there's more we can do, and you never can think your day ends by the clock, and so more sleep, an extra hour. Yes, it would help that child, instead of grabbing a bag of potato chips, maybe, you know, a healthy granola bar or something.
Mm-hmm.
But sleep is very important.
And that goes back to what they have available. I mean, if there's no potato chips to grab, but there's a granola bar and there's a peach or whatever, then that will change their lifestyle. That will change their selection. I was just going to say, as you look at adolescence and obesity, do you make a distinction between the morbidly obese, the obese, and the overweight? I mean, do you make a big distinction?
I really don't.
You're overweight, you're overweight. Okay.
Yeah, I see a child that might be severely overweight that, like I told you, will have a healthy heart and a happy face, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What is very hard for me to initiate is emotionally if the child is so down on himself, you know, again, you know, like you said, with the bullying, because you almost have to remove that child from the environment wherever it's hurting him so badly and make it healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's either the environment at home, it could be social, whatever, but you just need to attack it and make a smile on that face. Nothing gives me more pleasure than having a child come and slowly, whether we do it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but just taking the attention and the love and devotion, you know, which comes from teaching, into that child's heart to make him healthy again. And I love working with that, so I don't make any distinctions whatsoever.
Okay.
I've worked with children that are 300 pounds overweight and 20 pounds overweight, 15 pounds overweight.
What?
We have skinny children walking around with the unhealthiest hearts.
Right.
All right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not really about body size. It's about that heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they put the heart on your shoulder, you know, how healthy would that heart be?
When,
you know?
Well, they say that obesity, because I'm looking at the obesity now, they say that the obesity commonly begins between the ages of 5 and 6. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It starts out
early,
so young.
Mm-hmm. Very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And as we recognize all of the problems and issues that are associated with it, And the fallout from it, how do we manage obesity? I mean, and when I say, how do we manage obesity, I mean, what do we do? I mean, I guess we need to stop using food for rewards. You know, there are things that people can physically do in their home, like, for example, not eating in front of the television.
There's mm-hmm. things, you know, what do we do, okay? What do we do as an educator, as a parent, you know, as a friend? We have to expose our children to as much healthy choices, healthy resources. You know, we're living in an era that's everything on Google technology. I want to mention a couple other websites.
Okay, please do.
This is a great time to mention this.
Yes.
And this website is the Coalition Against Over-Medicating Our Youth. Now, the director and the CEO is Frank Granite, and their website is C as in cookie, A as in apple, O-O, Y as in yellow, .org. And they have a mountain of educators and pharmacists and just healthy people doing phenomenal things, and mm-hmm. judges coming from all over the United States. And they're helping children and adults win the battle against over-medicating of ADHD, stimulants, psychiatric medications. There's so much to work on with children in general,
mm-hmm.
With nutritional and just developing healthy minds and bodies. So check that website out.
Okay.
And again, educate, inform the children. They, in turn, will tell the parents, and it's like a contagious energy amoeba, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
like all this energy, and that's what you have to build it upon, just proactive, passionate people mm-hmm. that really care about children and teens and never give up on them and let them know there's always going to be someone there to help them reach their goals
so they
can all become successful.
As we look at teens and, you know, the problem with obesity, are there other interventions that you are aware of? I mean, like, for some example, I know some teens, it's recommended, and they're followed by physicians, that they use a kind of anorexic that may aid in you know, reducing their appetite. You know, there may be diets that they follow. I guess if it's bad enough, and I have seen this happen with teens, they will do surgery. So there are options, depending upon how severe the obesity is.
Right, right. I think the severity of it
mm-hmm.
is going to be that indicator. But as a parent and an educator, I will go holistic. I am anti-pills.
Mm-hmm.
I think just what we were talking about, reading labels, knowing about Blue One, Red 40. In Europe, they don't allow any of those artificial
sweet
chemical coloring
mm-hmm.
in their foods. Why do we do that here? We accept it, all right? We allow it. We need to teach the children how to read the labels so they know what they're eating. They're going to feel better. You know, they're going to have more energy. And that's where it starts. You know, we just have to get into their heads so they start eating healthy and understand, you know, what's going to happen to them if they eat all this other, you know, food that isn't nutritionally, you know, well for them. So...
Well, I was thinking, in addition to that, we talk about the school, mm-hmm. but some of these organizations that work with children also could be very strategic in this movement. I mean, I think of the Boys and Girls Club. A lot
mm-hmm.
of kids spend a lot of time there. Various different organizations,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, you know, different clubs that may also aid in changing, because you're talking about changing a lifestyle. You're talking
Absolutely,
about changing
yeah.
changing
yeah.
a mindset. And
right, right,
you can't
right.
expect the school to do it all. You can't
no.
even expect mm-hmm. the parents to do it all.
Right,
so
right,
it's
right.
got to be, you know, it's got to be a joint effort amongst, you know, all of those different milieus in which that child, you know, interacts. Would you agree?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, you know, you see these young kids on YouTube doing dances and all sorts
mm-hmm.
of, you know, routines for anything. I'm not an avid TV watcher, but I'm telling you, the younger we can attack this obesity, the better off everybody's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you jointly have to come in as a family unit. I don't care if there's two people at home, one person at home with a child. You have to bond together and make healthy choices and healthy lifestyles. One summer, we worked with gifted and talented high school students in Minnesota, in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They had never exercised a day in their life, all right? So we started out in the summer program. It was called the Psychology of Lifetime Sports. We got them to start walking. Then the walk turned into a jog. Then the jog turned into a longer jog. We culminated it with a 40-mile backpacking trip in the northern boundary waters, and they all finished it. So, you know, again, you have to make it exciting.
And
you have
fun.
To create change
mm-hmm.
and fun. There's just so many opportunities, but you need people who are passionate,
right.
that want to do this.
I'm going to have to cut you short. We have just run
again.
Out of time, but I would like to express
oh,
my
through?
Appreciation. Yes, and thank you.
Molly Faye Show, we're going NBC Live June 27th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, all right. To my listening
thank
audience,
so
thank you. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time. Same place
right.
to get the 411 on 411 team. This edition of 411 team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.